A favorite book of mine, and one that I reread periodically, is by John Irving, A Prayer for Owen Meany. And a few months ago, I was rereading it and enjoying it, but I was also struck that throughout this book, there are many, at least for me, touching and profound statements about the Christian life and faith. And in particular, I was struck by one about Palm Sunday. The narrator, who is John Wheelwright, is remembering his childhood friend, Owen Meany. And he remembers how Owen Meany said so many years before that Owen hated Palm Sunday. Owen didn't like the treachery of Judas, the cowardice of Peter, or the weakness of Pilate. Owen said, in his own words, "It's bad enough that they crucified him, but they made fun of him too." Many years after Owen Meany said this, John Wheelwright attends church on Palm Sunday, and he remembers Owen's words, and he reflects on Palm Sunday. Here is what he says. "I find that Holy Week is draining. No matter how many times I have lived through his crucifixion, my anxiety about his resurrection is undiminished. I am terrified that this year it won't happen. Anyone can be sentimental about the Nativity. Any fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas. But Easter is the main event." Now, it's true that Christmas offers us many beautiful ready-made images: sheep and shepherds, angels singing in the sky, a newborn baby, the animals at the creche, those three kings who visit from the east. Holy Week, however, does not have those kinds of images. There's no easy way to create beautiful pictures and to even sentimentalize the events of this week. It is, plain and simple, a difficult week. It is complicated. It's a week of many emotions, and it certainly is demanding. And Palm Sunday itself is a day of dissonances, of clashes. It begins with one set of emotions and quickly moves into another. It begins with that procession outdoors, remembering Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's like a great parade. And we're crying, "Hosanna," and waving those palm branches. But as soon as we stop the procession and begin the liturgy of the Eucharist, everything changes. The liturgy gives up that joy that perhaps we wanted to stay in. We understand that feeling. We want to praise Jesus as King. We want to have that uplifting music as we walk around waving our palm branches. But the liturgy gives us something else. The shouts have hardly subsided. The shouts of "Hosanna to the King of David," when we hear the prophet Isaiah's words, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting." Hard words. Words that we as followers of Jesus understand as pointing to his death. And then we read the passion from Mark. And we have to endure hearing about the horror of those final hours of Jesus' life. And not only that, but we move from shouting "Hosanna" to shouting "Crucify him." We're shouting with that crowd of so many years ago. It's like we are there calling for the death of Jesus. And this is a jarring experience. It's an emotional experience. We don't want to call for the crucifixion of anyone, let alone of Jesus. And so this day, I think there's a gift and there's also a challenge. And I think that's true, in fact, for this entire week. And it's found in what we are invited to do. We are invited to enter into the contemplation of those mighty acts of our salvation, those mighty things that God has done to redeem us. We're invited to walk with Jesus as he enters into the city of Jerusalem and greeted as a king. We're invited to go to that upper room where Jesus eats that final meal with his disciples and where he washes his feet, an act of loving, humble service. We are invited to go on to the Garden of Gethsemane to watch, to pray with Jesus. We're there and invited to see his betrayer arrive, the one who betrays him with a kiss. and watch while Jesus is arrested and put on trial. We're invited on Friday to go to the foot of the cross where Jesus dies, and then on to the tomb, that still quiet of the Saturday Sabbath, while Jesus lies dead in a tomb. In today's liturgy, and in fact in all of this coming Holy Week, there is a way in which past, present, future are all caught up. We're not only remembering events of so long ago, but they are caught up in these liturgical moments into now, all gathered together. And so there's a way in which we are walking with Jesus in his final days. There's a way in which the future is caught up in the acts of this week. All of it, past, present, future, brought together to be redeemed by God, to be hallowed for God's purposes. And God's purposes indeed are accomplished, that love in the end prevails. So in walking with Jesus this week, if we are honest, we come face to face with some of the worst impulses of our human condition. We see weakness, self-conceit, betrayal, hatred, violence. It's not pretty. It's not easy to look at and to embrace this reality. And yet, that's exactly what we are called to do. We're called to face the difficult reality, to come head to head with the honest truth of who we are as humans. And then let the mighty acts of salvation run their course and take place, to let Jesus gather all that it is to be human, all aspects of our sinfulness, to gather the evil that we perpetrate, and to take them unto himself, and lift them high on the cross, where they are killed through his death. And in his death, we are then set free, free from those worst of our human impulses, and set free to love as Jesus loves. We are set free to forgive our enemies, to refuse to live by violence, to serve others no matter the cost. Holy Week presents us with a stark reality and an unimaginable promise. All of it is contained in the death and resurrection of Jesus. The reality of our sinfulness, of the evil of the world, and the promise of God's love for humanity and God's power to save us. And so as we enter into the beginning of this most sacred and solemn week of the year and of our lives, I invite you to enter into the fullness of this week, to make the journey, knowing you do so not alone, but with all of us in this community and with the followers of Jesus around the world. You do it, in fact, with people who have come before us and people who will come after us. But doing it will require effort of time, of energy. It will ask for emotional honesty and openness. But it promises to change us, to transform us, if we allow God to do so. And so may we journey with the company of ages past and those yet to come, walking with Jesus the journey of this week. If we do, life will never be the same. For in fact, we will know the fullness of God and that life to which God calls us to share. I want to close with a poem by Edith Williams, which is very fitting, I think, for this day. Jesus, so lowly, child of the earth, christen me holy, bring me new birth. Jesus, so lonely, weary and sad, teach me that only love maketh glad. Jesus, so broken, silent and pale, be this the token, love will not fail. Jesus, victorious, mighty and free, teach me how glorious death is to be. Amen.